This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Federal News Radio. This is Derek Dortch on Fed Access. Thank you for stopping by the show. Today, we're going to be talking about a number of different things, and we've got one of our favorite guests in studio with me today, Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run Aview Central and a number of other things that we'll be talking about today, a couple other new projects that they have on the burner. But she's our favorite guest and is always able to talk about what's going on in the government because she's dealing with it with her own firm and also dealing with it on a number of different levels, talking to federal clients that she has and also talking to government contract clients and anyone else who's out there. So, Linda, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Good
to be
here.
It's good to see you again. You know, the H.R. 933, the president just passed this signed a bill, with the continuing resolution for government.
Yep.
You know, in terms of, you know, it gives, you know, some funding for up until September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about sequestration. You know, the impact between this CR and then sequestration, is sequestration still on the table? We have to not worry about it anymore because we got this? Yeah. Or where are we at right now, Linda? I mean, everything seems so confusing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, you know, as we watch it and kind of, you know, talking to folks about it, I think the real underlying problem is the uncertainty. Not just, you know, you're coming off a year after year with CRs and nobody's really had any opportunity to do any growth or, you know, have any stability because no one knows really what their budget's going to look like. But it looks like there are different versions, obviously, of the budget. And I believe the Democratic Senate version rolls back the sequestration levels and restores it to pre-sequestration.
Right.
Which is... you know, I don't have the tea leaves on that one in terms of, of it looks to me like a big budget battle looming again. But I do think that the general consensus, at least in the private sector, is 2014's not looking very good and 2015 isn't looking very good.
Wow.
So from a standpoint of business and, you know, hiring and activity like that, growth kinds of activity, I think we're going to see that's going to be pretty constrained, at least over the next couple of years.
You know, watching the tea leaves in the economy, you know, and you know, the job numbers came out that there's still some unemployment, a little rise in claims and everything else. You know, watching the tea leaves, is the sequestration the reason why we're seeing this bump up in unemployment? I mean, the dynamics of government contracting kind of falling off. You know, I mean, do people who are thinking about government, do we need to kind of change your mindset? I mean, since because you're talking about two more years. We're talking about 13, maybe, you know, 2014, maybe 2015, where this battle is still going to be going.
Yep.
You know, that you know, for a lot of people, that level of uncertainty is really disheartening.
Right.
You know,
how,
I mean, even for the business side or for federal people who are trying to get into federal government, you know, what should you be thinking about?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a really difficult time trying to discern if it's caused by sequestration. I think that some of it is.
Sure.
Certainly with big defense contractors have been laying off like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the bigger primes have been really shedding. Middle management is usually typically where they first go. And then if contracts, there's a lot of letters out now from agencies about we're probably not going to renew a contract or we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. But that's really a kind of a global notice as opposed to a specific notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just sort of getting everybody right. It's kind of like sending out furlough notices.
Right.
You don't know if you're going to furlough or not, but you know have to send out a notice.
But we're going to put it out there and let you know we may be doing this.
Right. If push comes to shove, because we don't really know what our numbers are. I think the thing that you know, for for me, and just read a recent article. It was actually Sunday in the New York Times Sunday Magazine. It was pretty startling about the fact that if you're college age right now and you're coming into the workforce and you're not really able to get a job or get a job at a compensation level you would have, let's say, 8 years ago,
sure.
gotten a job.
Sure.
Your ultimate setback is 20 years. You'll never recover from the setback of this first entry into the workforce.
Right.
So
in terms of salary or in terms of just kind of getting yourself going, you got student loans and all these other things.
Right.
Right.
Right. And in addition to that, you never put enough into retirement.
Mm.
So there's a second tier kind of retirement crisis looming where people who, 25 years from now
right.
are getting into that position are not going to be able to do it.
Right.
And so you've got this interesting problem of what do you really want to advise somebody mm-hmm. to do other than, be best friends with your parents and hope they
right,
have a basement,
right,
kind
exactly.
of thing.
Right.
But, I think that the best thing to do is wait for the best opportunity
mm-hmm.
Rather than dig a hole up front with something, try to move into a situation where you can get, the better opportunity coming your way.
Right.
So to some extent, the advice I think ought to be if you're a recent college graduate, you're entering the workforce for the first time, be a little picky, even though it may cause you some initial hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Try to, get the very best first shot.
Sure.
That you can get and
sure.
and then keep going.
I guess that's where those internships really kind of play into,
because
even with a government agency, if they do hire, they may look at the people who are on the inside,
mm-hmm.
Before they look at the people on the outside. And it seems as if that's going to have to be a strategy that has to be used more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like the White House runs intern programs
mm-hmm.
and they are unpaid
mm-hmm.
Internships. But your ability to connect with people who are very, obviously,
sure.
Very important and very influential and could be very influential in your career
right.
is very high.
Right.
So those are the kinds of pick and choose, be very careful, try to do something that gets you, that much further ahead of the game
right.
at the very beginning of the game.
Right, right. I've been seeing this whole dynamic, and tell me if this is where we're going. I've been seeing a lot of government agencies who are not putting out just full positions. They're putting out term positions,
mm-hmm.
NTE, which not to exceed, or
right.
temporary positions or things like that. I'm seeing a lot more of that happening. Now, of course, we have seasonal hiring.
Right.
But, I'm also just seeing that these, 1 to 5 year contracts or,
mm-hmm.
You're not a full civil servant.
Right.
Is that where we're headed with government rather than people having to now rely on that I'm going to get me a full civil servant job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm set for 20 years.
Yeah.
Because that used to be the workforce. I get me a job at the
yep.
at Ford. I'm good to go for 20 years. And then, but we don't have that anymore.
Right.
Is government starting to shift that way, too?
I think that government probably should shift that way.
You think so?
Yeah. Government has no agility when it comes to the workforce. The demand or the funding or whatever can wax and wane, but the workforce tends to be very finite.
Right.
And I think one of the better things about this, this was a topic right around when FERS was first invented.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at it and you think FERS was invented to create a portable retirement system between the private sector and
mm-hmm.
the public sector.
Right.
And that was to break what they call the velvet handcuffs of CSRS,
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't move anywhere because
your retirement
was not a portable
right,
system.
Right, right, right.
And so,
right.
so the idea—
So you had to stay in that
yeah.
agency, in that position. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And I think if I ruled the world, I certainly would go to Congress and ask for different appointing authorities that mm-hmm. allowed you to participate in 401k plans, allowed you to get benefits. This is a nice thing about term versus temporary or seasonal
mm-hmm.
is you're at least accruing benefits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
through that process. And I think that's important is your ability to participate in a retirement system, a classic TSP 401k
right.
type of system is important. And getting away from having a workforce that cannot expand and contract with demand I think is where the government needs to go.
Right.
So I think that helps with fresh ideas, innovation,
right.
Bench strength, you know, all those kinds of things. So it just needs to be structured a little bit differently to meet more of today's demands. But I think that's true.
And you know, I'm seeing, I read an article somewhere yesterday, I think it was one of the papers, but they were saying that the benefits, you know, they're starting to get away from the dynamics of the benefits in terms of repayment of student loans.
I mean,
the government's starting to kind of move away. You know, that used to be a big thing.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to get into the government. They're going to pay my student loans and everything else. I mean, that seems to be going away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it seems there's a lot of transition going on within the government. Are, you know, in the next maybe 5 years, is are we thinking about a whole new? I mean, I even saw a CIA position that was termed. You know, I had never seen that before. You know, I mean,
that is interesting,
you know, right? like, you know, work for us for a couple, you know, years, and then we got to let you go. But you know, I mean,
with all of our secrets,
yeah, right? Exactly. So, I mean, are we really talking about a fundamental kind of, you know, change? With mm-hmm. is this because of sequestration, or this is just kind of where we are in this moment of time?
Yeah, I think budget uncertainty drives that kind of change,
okay.
But it's not the only reason to do it. I do believe that coming generations of the workforce will not be as tenured as this workforce is.
So the tenure dynamic is moving away.
I think that's moving away for everybody. And technology changes too fast. You can't know with certainty that work is a 20-year career. It may be a 3-year career, or you know, a very short term type of injection of that skill or talent, and then it changes.
You know, when we come back, I want to kind of talk about the dynamics of, you know, the market and kind of small businesses. I know you've been looking at certain things in terms of state, city government, everything else. I want to talk about where the market is, you know, and what should people be looking at. I mean, a lot of people focusing on federal, but are there opportunities out there, kind of states, local, county governments and everything else? I mean, what are you seeing?
Right.
I know you deal with some of the private sector. Are you seeing certain things going on that way in terms of trends?
Yep.
Now, let's talk about those things when we come back.
Okay.
We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies, and they run aviewcentral.com, and they run a number of other things. You've got to check their site out. And I think aviewtech.com, right, is the site? She is one of our regular panelists, one of our government experts, and can talk about a number of different things, and that's why we have her here. But we're going to keep on talking about these issues and much more on Fed Access. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about what's going on in the government in terms of hiring, in terms of contracts, in terms of everything else that's happening with the federal workforce and beyond that, you know, maybe state and city workforce and everything else that's going on with kind of government agencies, no matter what they are. We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run a site. You can find their site at aviewtech.com, but they also run aviewcentral.com, which is a federal job site where you can find different federal opportunities as well. And then with all of that, Linda, let me ask this question. Now, you know, we've got this maybe situation 2013, 14, 15.
Yep.
You know, and you're in this market, you're seeing it kind of the tea leaves. Should a small business or medium-sized business or whatever business, should they continue to focus in on the federal market? I mean, are there still going to be opportunities? Should you still go on FBO and bid or try to, you know, work with, you know, the small business, you know, office of an agency or whatever the case is? Will there still be opportunities to make money over the next 3 years?
I think that there will be fewer of them.
Okay.
And the competition is getting intense.
Okay.
You know, so talking to other depends on what actual area of expertise you have. But when I talk to like typical IT systems integrators and businesses like that, they are, you know, when large prime contractors are sharpening their pencil and you used to maybe be pretty price competitive, they're getting increasingly more price competitive in that lower end of the zone. So I think it's good for government.
Which means
because,
salaries will also go down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Salaries and the number of jobs, you know, but for the government, it's less spending, more efficient for maybe the same thing.
Right.
So, you know, I think of it as it's good ultimately for the taxpayer, but for right now, things are getting very competitive. The government's doing a lot more what they call LPTA, lowest price technically acceptable, which is very controversial. And, you know, what it means is that you're not able to differentiate your product or service on the qualitative aspects of it. They're just going to go with basically
the lowest price. Right.
And that's got people.
That's dangerous though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Because, I mean, you lose out on quality assurance with that sometimes.
You lose out on opportunities. Like, you know, one of the biggest things that I see is as the government tries to get more control over its spending, the area that it's getting a lot more interested in is trying to control contract spending, right? And so as they start to do that, the problem that they have is they think of things as undifferentiated products, right? As if I buy this from company A versus company C, they're essentially the same product, when that's really not true.
Right.
And one product may be highly innovative and the other not, and that may cause the government to lag in terms of the innovation cycle. And that's where I do see a difference between federal and state and local. So and what we're seeing a lot in city government and state government is the adoption of every one of those governments is adopting a chief innovation officer.
Okay.
And, you know, so we're seeing a lot of focus on we're really going to drive government efficiency by technology innovation.
Okay.
And that's how we're going to do that. So
rather than hiring more people and things like that, we really are going to use technology in a new way to kind of streamline government services and make it more to get it out to the citizen.
Right.
Without having to build up a whole bunch of structure with people and buildings and everything else.
Exactly. And one of the things, I actually used this example yesterday. We're talking to some folks that's at state government level in a state. And, you know, I call them financially distressed, right? A lot of state and local governments don't have the flexibility of the, as they put it, print the money that the feds have, right? So they have to balance their budget. Yeah, exactly. and they have to balance their budget. And a lot of their funding comes from the federal government.
Sure.
So if there's no flow down of those funds, they start to get really compressed.
Right.
But one of the things, you know, we said was when you look at technology, you know, and they're looking at things like, you know, how do they, you know, take advantage of creating more efficiencies. When you look at technology and you think, you know, when we used to have landlines, you know, we had rotary dial phones, and then we had, you know, the push button dial phones, and then we had, you know, the tone, and then we had, you know, the giant Gordon Gecko cellular phones, you know, and then we went into cell phones, and then we went into smartphones, right? So
And then tablets.
And so what's really happening, really the cloud, I think, is making all the difference in the world. But what's really happening is when you go from one, you know, when you look at technology, right now the federal government can leapfrog all those generations, right? If they've not implemented something, and a lot of state and local governments, for example, still run completely manual HR processes, right? So if they haven't implemented something, there's no reason to walk through every one of those stairs, right? Just go to the top. And take that most innovative piece of technology that you have, you know, and what I fear with the feds is the feds tend to have business case analysis that says in 10 years, we will save $100 million. Okay.
Right. But you can't predict in 10 years what technology or anything else is going to be.
You're
like
lucky
anymore.
If you can do two or three.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And by then, it's just, and that's why we have bring your own device to work and all this other stuff, because the government has discovered that if employees bring their own devices to work and can use them for work, the government doesn't have to buy them one.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it just goes into this that's just a dynamic you want to take advantage of. So, so I think the biggest fear is, you know, if we go down this path and we keep trying to pave the cow path the way we have in the past, a classic business case analysis is not not holding up to today's technology, then let's not do that. Let's get innovation in government in the same way that the state and local governments have been able to do. And these governments are very innovative.
Are you finding, because like you mentioned, they were getting money from the feds. I mean, it used to be either grants or whatever the case is. I know DOJ would give a lot of grants to do different things, whoever. I mean, with those possibly going away, is the governments are going to do more taxation? I mean, where are they getting the money to support the innovation? Or are they kind of saying, listen, we're taking away from here and then we're going to support the innovation? And is that where you're seeing the business model go for either a person who says, you know what, government – is kind of drying up. State, local governments, let me tap them, but the market is maybe innovation.
Right. I think that innovation in today's world with today's technology, particularly with the cloud, does not require capital investment.
Mm.
So therein lies the difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have to make a capital investment in something, right. You don't have to pre-fund it.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And if you can, if
no
you can use
no,
it,
you can
right.
just get a vendor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you
sure.
can use it and see if it's generating the return that you expect it to
mm-hmm.
and track the metrics on that really heavily, then all the better.
Mm.
Because now you've got... you've got proof
right.
that it's increasing efficiency. So
right.
it's possible to have static funding and still generate residual funds
okay.
And move that out to
right.
mission.
Right. right. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, almost a matter of like if it's a city agency who has to generate funds,
mm-hmm.
they could possibly use the funds to pay for any innovation. I mean,
right.
you know, rather than necessarily having to find new funds,
right.
the money is kind of already there
right.
by maybe... you know, eliminating certain things or just kind of cost
it's a redistribution. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
right, right. Cost reduction of certain things.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have people who there are mayors out there and governors from various large cities and states where they have been able to capitalize on this notion and the objective that by being more technology savvy
mm-hmm.
and being innovative there, we are saving big money over here.
Hmm.
And that is money that can then be redistributed to citizen services
right.
or, you know, fire
right.
departments,
right.
you know, everything that they
right.
have to do.
Right.
So.
Right. Right. Let's hold it right there. I want to keep on talking about this. When we come back, I want to talk about this and I want to start going into the dynamic. We didn't get to the private sector a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to kind of see, you know, is innovation still the track on the private sector?
Mm-hmm.
And also with, you know, I know you guys do a number of different things from HR, you know, kind
mm-hmm.
of, you know, management to everything else. You know, are we seeing things that are just kind of the dynamics of change? Are we seeing it for HR systems? Are we seeing it in cloud computing? Is it everything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the key in terms of where you're seeing this innovation going?
Yep.
Let's talk about that when we come back. And then the last segment, we want to talk about what's going on with you guys
okay.
at A-View. And you got some stuff going on with the Wildlife Service. And
yeah.
we want to talk about the wildfires and everything else. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to keep on talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of A-View Technologies. You can find them at avutech.com. They also run a site called avucentral.com, which is a job site for federal job seekers. They've got a number of different federal clients on there, Peace Corps, Wildlife, everybody
mm-hmm.
else is on there putting their jobs up, and you can apply for the jobs on that site right there. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of A-View Technologies, and they run a site called avutech.com. They also run avucentral.com, which is a federal job site. We're talking about what's going on in the federal market, how
mm-hmm.
sequestration is having an impact, the continuing resolution, what's the impact on that? What are we looking at in terms of trends, in terms of business? You know, looking at state and city government, county governments, you know, is mm-hmm. that where we should be headed right now? We're talking about all these issues and a lot more. Linda, you know, we were talking about state and
mm-hmm.
city and kind of saying you're starting to see the market with that because a lot of these places have not innovated in a long time.
Right.
And so they're looking to kind of say, listen, we need to make the move. We got to start saving money. We got a new
yep.
a group of mayors coming in who kind of maybe came out of the generation
yep.
of more innovation. And
mm-hmm.
so they're kind of saying, how can we leverage technology? Where are you seeing the innovation? Is it going to be, like you mentioned, about HR systems are still manual in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be the HR systems? Is it going to be the DMV? Is it going to be, I mean, where are
yeah.
you seeing the technology kind of taking hold and maybe making an impact? And are there some best practices out there? Some people who are doing some stuff?
Right. I think there are a number of large cities and state governments where you can see that. I think the business opportunities with state and local government are there because they have the capability to leapfrog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk to some large federal agencies and they may be really wedded to a pretty antiquated technology
mm-hmm.
that's running their payroll system
right.
or it's running their HR systems.
Sure.
State and local governments, because they're decades behind, can go from that, you know, rotary dial phone to a smartphone overnight.
Right, right.
And because there
is the contracting process more simple? I mean, you know, where...
Not particularly.
Okay, yeah. So don't get that messed up. Yeah. Don't get that twisted. All right.
Yeah, all right. Not particularly, but I do think that their propensity or their affinity to take advantage of these technologies is higher.
Okay.
And it really represents, it's kind of an interesting time right now because we, and an example I used when I spoke with the panel at the ABA meeting was, you know, I sat next to a guy on an airplane who told me this story, and he was on his way to the National Institutes of Standards and Technologies, and this was a few years ago. And he said, you know, when the Amazon cloud first became available, there was a pharmaceutical company that needed to do a bunch of research, and they had a bunch of research results, and they needed some servers to run and crunch the numbers on those research results. Well, they didn't. They went to their IT department, and the IT department said, "Oh, you know, that takes months, and you know, it takes X thousands of dollars, and yada yada." And so,
as the IT department always,
they always do. Yeah, you know? It's like, no, we don't want to buy that for you. So then they. They got on the cloud and they started an instance of the calculations and ran it against their data. And they discovered that they had a little problem with the algorithms. So they fixed the problem and then started up another instance. And by the time they got done, they had started up multiple instances correcting as they went. It was very iterative. They got all the numbers crunched in about 48 hours. At the end of the day, they were running 500 servers, okay, to get that on the cloud.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And when they were done, the total cost, the total fee was $45.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you think about
and that would have been
innovation.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If millions using, for some people.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. You want to run something that big and you know, do that. And what I really like about that story is it really hits home on the difference between what it takes today to if you're a recent college graduate and you don't have a job and you think you want to build an app or a website or a business online or something like that, that is so easy because there's no cost. There's no capital investment required
to
start it up.
Right. You can just start a business just right there.
Yeah. And then you can change it iteratively as you go and refine it and make it better. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the level of innovation we're talking about is something where the contrast is so high between the way we do it now and the way we could do it and how much money would that save.
Right. You brought up an interesting point. Is that the way for the future? Just more entrepreneurship across the board?
Yes.
You know, I mean, and rather than looking for a job, creating your own job, creating your own opportunities. I mean, do we need to start, you know, teaching that more to our young people and everything else and say, listen, don't. I mean, yeah, you can find a job, but don't necessarily be so wed to it. Start looking to create your own situation.
Right. And I think my niece-in-law, who does not know I'm talking about her right now, hello, Aaron, has a home-based business.
Okay.
And she has the most aggressive social media around her home-based business I have ever seen in a person. That just means... A, I'm not on Facebook a whole lot, and I'm not myself doing that kind of thing. But, you know, she had a home-based business. She got invited. She makes bridal accessories and sells them online. And she got invited to a couple of events, key events, and has apparently now picked up a major department store, national chain.
Wow.
Okay. And she's very talented. Right. And this is her gift,
right,
is to be able to do this. And she does it fluidly with no marketing department, no overhead, you know, none of this going on. And I think that is a great option for people who are struggling to find the classic employment and can go instead to this sort of self-employment realm where there's no cost to your infrastructure.
Sure.
You know, you start with you computer. Don't have to have anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a computer and
internet access,
service, and that's all you need.
That's it.
Yeah. And now, I mean, you're seeing computers, the prices of computers are dropping down so much that, you know, you really don't have to put a lot of capital into that.
Right.
And, I mean, do you think, I know we have SBA and other things like that. Do you think, you know, even our federal government, state government should be pushing entrepreneurship more on people and thinking about that in order to drive our economy?
Right. Yeah. And drive the economy and also drive innovation in the country. I mean, there's a little bit of debate going on right now about how innovative we are as a country.
Right. With the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and math, and everything else. Sure.
Yes, and the talent level that we need, and so on. But to some extent, you know, you really have to have, you have to have a climate that, you know, sometimes to foster that, you have a negative climate, you know, a climate where people who would be working for someone else, a large employer or whatever, are instead creating these little model businesses, and it's great.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I do think that there is some merit to the dynamic of you now have an accountability for your own kind of career, and you kind of taking control, empowering yourself, and not just waiting for an employment opportunity.
Right.
I mean, I think that, you know, that may be something even in terms of the unemployment, you know, scenario, rather than just always having people just think, I got to find another job.
Yep.
You know, maybe put them, if they got an idea, put them in an incubator.
Right.
And or put, you know, teach them entrepreneurship, you know, and kind of say, listen, you got 6 months, see if you can get a business started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there may be driving innovation with that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Yeah. And my experience with folks, you know, that are in their 20s and maybe early 30s is they do have a lot of confidence. You know, there's a tremendous amount of confidence and high self-esteem. And when you have accessible to you the entire Amazon cloud, you know, or, you know, accessible to you Facebook and the outreach to millions and millions and millions of people through that process, that's pretty powerful. I mean, you have that at your fingertips and, you know, folks learn how to leverage that very, very quickly.
Right. Do you think that federal, state, city, local, you know, county government, you know, innovation officers or CIOs or whoever the case is, do you think that they're starting to look around to some? I know there's some agencies like NASA or something, they all have these challenges,
right?
You know, to see if they can get new ideas. But you think are more agencies beginning to look around to that kind of maybe that one person who has an idea that can help save us, you know, $10 billion or whatever the case is? I mean, is are you seeing that model taking hold?
I think that it is.
Or are we still going to be with the big government contractors always kind of taking it?
I think it's still very slow in the feds.
Okay.
It's much faster at state and local. The adoption rate is faster. In the feds, it's really one of those things that tends to be a inhibitor to the federal government having that level of early adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time, you know, if you're not an early adopter with these technologies, you're a never adopter.
Sure.
Because they get replaced so fast by something else.
Right.
And so it's easy to fall behind generationally.
Right.
You know, and I do see that the feds are not, instead of, for example, you know, strategic sourcing is highly centralized buying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Highly centralized buying is, to me, contrary to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really wanted to have a innovative, agile government, you would decentralize these decisions.
And allow different people to kind of, sure.
But we're still going with one DHS or, you know, one department here.
Right.
And what you're finding is that causes a department to not move at all. So you may have somebody who thinks that that's a great idea, and then they put in a huge government structure, which is a lot of infrastructure and overhead, that a technology that is new and genuinely, you know, agile is not going to last through a 3-year procurement process or those kinds of things. So I think where the feds have really mistaken it, and you know, back to one of my old, you know, sort of classic rants, it's like controlling job information in one source. People think it's one-stop shopping and it's easier and better, but it isn't, because who knows to go there if you're not currently a Fed? Do you know about USA Jobs? No.
Yeah, sure.
So what you want is you want job information distributed.
Mm-hmm.
So the more agencies get on Facebook and put their job opportunities on Facebook, the better, because you're getting a broader audience and a more diverse audience.
Right. Yeah, you're reaching a better talent pool.
Right.
Because everybody's not on USA Jobs, like you mentioned. If they put a thing on LinkedIn or Indeed or other places, it'll help out in that. When we come back, I want to talk about what you guys are doing. at AVU Central. We got this new Wildfire Exchange.
Yep.
Wildfire Exchange. I want to talk about that and what's going on with that, where you're kind of using social media as you kind of see what's going on. We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of AVU Technologies. You can find their site at avutech.com. They also run avucentral.com, which is a federal job site where you can also find a number of different federal opportunities for a number of different agencies on that site. We're talking about the federal market. We're talking about what's going on, jobs, contracting, and everything else. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about what's going on with the federal market, federal jobs, federal contracting. Where should you be looking? Should you be looking at new opportunities? State government, city government, county government? Maybe there's new opportunities there, innovation and everything else. Where should we be looking at what's going on? We got Linda Ricks in the studio with us right now. She's co-CEO of AVU Technologies, and you can find them at avutech.com. They also run a site called avucentral.com, which has been a longstanding federal job site that's been going on for quite some time. Peace Corps is on there, Wildfire Service. Who else is on there, Linda?
Justice Department of Justice,
and a number of different agencies are on there who are all looking for good candidates. And you can apply right on the website from there.
Yeah, we really have all the federal jobs.
Okay. She lists all the federal jobs on there. But you've got this new program, this Wildfire Exchange. Talk about that. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, we did some analysis of, and we actually picked seven different disciplines to do this in, and this is the first of the seven. But we did some analysis, and we hired some folks that are very good at social media marketing and basically optimization of social media around, you know, any subject, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we took a look around. We noticed that wildland firefighting, which is a particular discipline, right? It's pretty narrow, small niche, and it's kind of like it's a version of what there's a book called The Long Tail, and it's a version of that. It's like, you know, you may find that a lot of people are on LinkedIn, okay? But the people that are interested in something more specific, like wildland fire, would like to go to a place where that's under discussion. Sure. So what we did was we created an exchange, and it's an exchange in the broadest sense. It's the ability to create online communities where people collaborate, they exchange information, they engage each other, they discuss, they sell products and services to each other, and there are jobs posted and employers connect with potential candidates. What we found was that wildland firefighting is actually a growing private industry business. Okay,
so everybody's thinking the federal government's hiring all these people, but it's not.
Right.
Okay.
And what's happening is private companies are growing at a rate of 15% or more a year that fight wildland fires, and the because of the checkerboard ownership is what it's called. So in our area in Washington State, for example, you might have acres, you know, it's kind of a checkerboard of this block of land is owned by warehouse or a timber company. This block of land is owned by the federal government. This block of land is state government and so on. And then, you know, this block of land is where, you know, some people have built their homes, right? And so private firefighters have gotten into the business of fighting fires and have been brought in by state, local, and federal governments. So what happens is the capacity to fight fires can be flat inside the government, and then the capacity to bring on additional capacity is through these private companies that are very large.
Sure.
And there are thousands of them. And so
the federal government saves in terms of the process of hiring and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they just contract out with these private firefighter companies.
Right.
Okay.
And so what we want to do is we want to be the hub in which all of these different entities talk to each other and where candidates and people who are in the fire jobs can communicate with each other. They can even do things like on part of the upcoming segment that we'll be releasing is at the end of fire season, if you want to sell your gear,
you can sell it online to other firefighters.
Right. The same with equipment. A lot of what we learned was a lot of the companies that got started maybe three or four generations in now, but they got started because they bought a fire engine truck. Okay, that's literally how they got started. So that whole process of selling equipment and doing all that is one thing. And then we're putting up a friends and family tab so that you can download to your mobile phone a location notifier of where you are, and your friends and your family can kind of monitor your whereabouts see how you're doing. And then we have a, ESRI has a map of all the fires, and that's on the site. And then with that are all the Twitter feeds about that fire and where they're generating. So you can get predictions of fire danger and weather patterns, actual fires, and social media feeds from that fire. So it's so really cool.
If you love fires and you love firefighting and wildland firefighting, this is your place, right? This is your hub. I mean, and we got to, time is always short on us, but no, it's great. And it's never, you know, we always have these great discussions. Is it a place in terms of the where can people find it at?
I mean, it's at www.wildfirex.com.
WildfireX.com. Check out WildfireX. I want to talk about it more. We're going to have you back.
Yeah,
you know,
because
we always run out. And I want to find out, how long has it been going on?
It's been going on since the middle of February.
Okay. So we got to come and check in a couple months and then kind of see how this is going and see, because if, and I want to go check it out too. So we can see what's happening. We've had Linda Ricks on the show. Always a great show with her. She always provides some insight about what's going on in the federal government. Give me the site one more time.
WildfireX.com.
WildfireX.com is one of their sites. AviewCentral.com is another one of their sites. AviewTech.com is where you can find out about the business and innovations that they are doing with city, state governments and federal government and everything else, and then going on. Thank you, Linda, for being on the show.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.